I know we're all desiring more and more to be aware of the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives, and also to know that we're on the same page with the Spirit and we're flowing with the Spirit and not resisting. In John 7, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way." And he was speaking, of course, of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that was to come. If anyone thirsts, who thirsts? Every human being on this planet has a thirsty soul. Jesus says, come to me. When that thirst is directed to the Lord, something is activated in us. From a depth beyond our thinking and subconscious, deep in our spirit, that river of life begins to flow, and that's the Holy Spirit. We don't make it happen. It's God's grace that releases that. But when that river is flowing, we want to be a part of the flow. You want to be drifting or swimming with the tide, the river. You don't want to be swimming against it. And that's the thing that really the Lord needs to open our eyes to, because we know how to make the right prayers. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Everybody prays that. But sometimes the attitude of our heart can betray the very words that we speak. In John 5, Jesus said of the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures," this is John 5:39, "because you think in them you have life. These scriptures are about me. You aren't willing to receive from me the life you say you want." That's pretty powerful. In other words, the Pharisees were saying the right words. We want the Messiah. Messiah was standing right in front of them, and he said, "We don't want you." When we're still operating under that independent self-will, we're going to do it our own way. We can make all the right prayers, but that independent, striving part of ourself, that self-will, is saying, "No, God, I don't want it to be your way. I want it to be my way." So our very attitude of heart can betray our prayers. The Pharisees knew the word. They were praying everything that the scriptures be fulfilled. And Jesus said, "All these scriptures point to me." He said, "You're not willing to receive from me." So what was the problem with the Pharisees? The fact that their minds were in darkness? Jesus wanted to illuminate their minds. They weren't willing. They weren't willing to humble themselves. And as long as that self-will, that independence, do it our own way, remain strong in us, we're going to constantly be resisting the very thing we're asking for. When the Spirit is free to flow, it leads us to the fullness of Christ. You know, and I think we've all been conditioned, not by correct theology, but by church life. The idea is the more I can do for God, the more spiritual I am. If you're reading a half hour a day, pump it up to an hour. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Of course not. That's a good thing. But when we start to measure ourselves and how God receives us or loves us or our spirituality by what we're doing, that's the error. God is not asking you to jump through hoops. How much time did you meditate? 5 minutes or an hour? Probably if you tried an hour, you fell asleep somewhere along the way. But where does God say time is an issue? Is he looking at a watch and looking at how much time you're giving him? No, God is saying, "I want your life. I don't want you jumping through hoops. I want you to humble yourself. I want your will to break where I can have all of you." Jesus on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The despair that he felt. But what was the next thing he said? "Father, unto thy spirit I commit my life." That submission to God. And that's all the Lord is looking for from us. Religious conditioning is always that sense of separation, that I've got to do more, then God will receive me. Because God has already received you, you don't have to perform for him. Because he's received you, you can let go of your life and say it's all yours. Let's look at John chapter 15. I think these scriptures are such a clear example of what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and how we can flow with the Spirit. John 15, I am the real vine, my Father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch of me that does not bear grapes. And every branch that is grape-bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. You are already pruned back by the message I have spoken. Okay, the word pruning. Important word. We all know it. What we don't know, I think, is the motivation behind that pruning. God doesn't prune you because he's punishing you for bad behavior. God's not proving you so that you can get right with God where he can accept you. He prunes you because you are one with him and a part of him. Jesus, what he accomplished on the cross for you is he reconciled you with the Father. He's the vine. We're branches of that vine. We have the divine life flowing through us. Because that is a reality, God can prune the branches that need to be cut away. Why is that important? Because if we think we're being pruned as punishment, who's going to rush into that? Nobody wants to be punished. We look at the pain. I don't want to go through the pain. But if you realize that you're being pruned because he loves you so that you can bear more fruit, we become more willing for that process. Hebrews chapter 12. He says, the child he loves, he disciplines. The child he embraces, he corrects. We look at that chapter about discipline, and oh yeah, we've got to be disciplined. Do we get it? We're disciplined because he loves us and because we're a part of him. The child he embraces, because he's embracing you with love, he's going to correct you. We have to know where it's coming from if we're going to be open to receive it. So how do we flow with the Holy Spirit? Not by trying to be more dedicated. We need to have a revelation of our oneness with him and his love. Amen. Then we're willing to let go of the self-life. I'm going to talk about the dead branches. So first it says, we're pruned by the word. I wrote that scripture. It says, we're pruned by the message I've spoken. I think we need to understand this, that the pruning is not us going around trying to clip off branches we think God doesn't like. The living word of God, it says in Hebrews, is what? It's a sword, living, powerful. It's the word of God that cuts off the dead branches. We just have to be willing to let the word work in us. As Mary said, do unto me according to your word. That's all we need, that attitude. And when we do that, God begins to cut back the branches that are dead. We have our own idea of what our dead branches are, don't we? But actually, it's God who discerns what needs to be cut back. I look at my personality and I see certain strengths, and if I want to be honest, I see weaknesses. I see things I'll be ashamed of, and I want to put in a closet somewhere. So our idea of pruning is, I'm going to get rid of all that stuff that embarrasses me, because God must hate that. The Holy Spirit prunes back what is in his way, not in our way. So when God does his work, it's not maybe not the things that you're so overly concerned about. Maybe God's like Paul said, you know, I prayed for this thing to be lifted off me. And God answered, said, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever Paul was going through, whatever weakness, God didn't take it away from him. Sometimes the weaknesses we want to get over, God keeps in our life to keep us humble. But there's other branches that are dead and we don't realize it. So that's why, again, we can't prune ourselves. We have to allow the Holy Spirit through the Word to do the pruning. What are the dead branches? Well, unbelief, fear, pride. That may not be a complete list, but that's a good starting point. Our fears get in the way of what God wants to do. That's why he says perfect love casts out fear. We're not to have a fear-based theology or a shame-based theology. When God's love becomes real, those fears are broken up because they create a wall where we're not aware of the love of God. Fear, unbelief. Again, what is unbelief? It's all connected with fear, isn't it? We don't trust God. And I know it's difficult to trust God because we're human. We have human senses. And God is invisible to this realm. Now, he created the stage. We didn't. And he says, if you want to be aware of me, you've got to trust me and have faith. So our connector with God is not through our senses. It's our faith. So the dead branches of unbelief, God prunes back, cuts off. And that pruning process, what does it release? More fruit, more faith. Pride. None of us are capable of dealing with our own human pride. We're aware of it at times. But there's a, you know, in the whole religious realm, that self-righteous attitude, people that think they're so spiritual because of certain giftings. They may have those giftings, may be very true. But are they aware of the spiritual pride where they think they're better than other people or more spiritual than other people? Or we've all been a part of it, part of a group that has a deeper teaching. You think all of a sudden you're superior to other believers. Now, you may have a right teaching, but the pride is not of God. If we're getting more and more revelation of him, we should become more humble for that revelation to work in our lives. So we let God do this pruning process. We can't bear any fruit unless it's born out of our oneness with the Lord. That sense of separation from God, there's no fruit that can come out of that lie. So as long as we're striving religiously to try to gain God's favor, we're being very busy, we're wearing ourselves out, and there's no fruit as a result. Now, that doesn't sound so attractive to me when I look at it that way. Let's let go of the shame. Fruit comes out of our connection to the vine, comes out of our oneness with the Lord. As this fruit comes forth, it demonstrates or manifests in different ways, and I'm going to read some scriptures. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. Everything separate needs to be burned up because that's part of the lie. But when we allow the fruitfulness to come out of pruning, you know what our experience is? We're at home with him. You know the expression, you need to be comfortable in your own skin? If you're going to be happy in life, you've got to know that that's true. You've got to become comfortable. Well, in God, it's the same thing. That's our true home. If we're not at home with him, it's his heart, with his love, it means we're not experiencing the fruitfulness that God wants. Fruit makes you feel at home. It's that sense of abiding. You're grafted into him. Nothing can separate you from him. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. How is the Father shown through our lives? Through the fruit. So when we say yes to the pruning, fruit is born out of that, that reveals who the Father is. And that's our ministry to the world. I've loved you the way the Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. Fruit and joy go together. This is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. Love one another the way I've loved you. None of us can do that in our own strength. We can love. But when the fruit is being born of God, it's not just our love or attempts to love. It's God's love. Something born in God's heart is released through our life. And we're able to love one another the way Jesus loved us. Now, how did Jesus love us? He revealed the Father's love. He loved the way the Father loves. Everything that Jesus did was just the Father showing himself and who he was to the world. So that same love is to be flowing through us. That's part of the fruit that comes out of pruning. This is the very best way to love, that put your love on the line for your friends. It's going to the motivation of heart of laying down our lives for one another. Philippians 2, putting others ahead of yourself. You know, we all can move in a certain amount of love, and still that stronghold of selfishness can be in our life, where I love people, but I'm still number one. We don't realize that selfishness is like a magnet drawing all the wrong things. It draws the lies of the enemy, and the more self-consumed you are, it's like you're digging, trying to get out of a hole, but the more you dig, the deeper the hole gets. And so many people live their lives that way. They don't know what's wrong. They're just consumed with their own selves. The liberty comes, and then 1 John 2, you read about it. How we transition from death into life. What does it say? Because of our love for one another. There's a love that God births in us where we can put others ahead of ourselves. And that kind of unselfish love, the enemy wants nothing to do with. He can't touch that. That's God's gift to us. Where was I here? Oh, yeah, one last thing. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. He goes, I no longer call you servants because servants don't understand what the master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. When we say yes to the pruning and that fruit of the Spirit comes forth, a realization hits. You're not just a servant, you're a friend. And because you're God's friend, you are privy to everything that God has shown the Son. The Holy Spirit is our helper, and what does he do? He guides us into some truth, into all truth. This change of identity, we try so hard to have a spiritual identity, and sometimes I think we work against ourselves. We don't realize that the true identity of who we are in God is birthed in that fruit that comes out of the pruning. When we realize our oneness with the Father, all of a sudden the light goes on inside. I'm not just serving God. God really likes me. I'm his friend. And out of that, you know, God, revelation is unlimited, what you can show me. That whole prophetic realm flows out of that. So how do we not resist the Holy Spirit? Not just with our words, but with the attitude of our heart, we say yes to the pruning that God brings. We say yes to the humbling of that self-will. We can will to do the will of God. There's that inner breaking that releases the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening. And we're dismissed.